Hi, I'm Ann Strange Champs. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, and this week we're bringing you a live show we did a few weeks ago in Salt Lake City. We were on stage at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, thanks to the great folks at member station KUER.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much.
Video right here. The camera is zooming in on a huge cliff at the top of a mountain, and there's a woman standing right at the edge in some kind of brightly colored suit. As we watch, she jumps off. And she's thousands of feet up in the air. There's no rope or harness or anything holding her up, and she's flying. She's soaring over cliffs and drifting through crevasses. This is Steph Davis. She's a renowned rock climber with a string of solos and first ascents to her name. And a decade ago or so, she found a new and even more dangerous career as a skydiver, base jumper, and wingsuit flyer.
You started skydiving, and I would think that for a climber, that would be so difficult, because as a climber, every instinct must be hang on, and, you know, suddenly you're walking out of a plane or jumping off a cliff. Was that hard?
It was. I mean, these things are such a metaphor, and I think that's why they're fascinating to me and, you know, fascinating to others. So climbing really, it's about holding on. And that can really get into your psyche if you spend your life doing it. And the beauty of jumping and what attracted to me initially is it's the complete opposite. It's all about letting go. And especially for a climber, it's really hard to do that. And so I think for me, it was a very, very good learning experience, which is, I think, what brought me into it.
Well, it's interesting because when you began skydiving, your marriage had just broken up. Your first husband was Dean Potter. And you were really devastated by that breakup and wound up learning to, it's not how most people would get over a breakup, but wound up learning to skydive, which I know you've written about it in your memoir. You described it as a lifesaver. I mean, what was it that was life-saving about skydiving?
To live through that physical manifestation of the concept of letting go was what I really needed to do right then in my life. And it is kind of the thing that saved me from just this feeling of extreme sadness and anxiety, because as I continued to do this sport, I realized that I actually really loved it. So it kind of started as this, I think, healing experience. And then I discovered another passion that I love as much as I love climbing. And, you know, you don't always get that in life to find that thing that lights you up so much.
Was part of, do you think part of it that, you know, grief has a certain numbness to it, and it can be hard to get out of that. And I imagine just the sheer thrill that the emotions must be so intense when you're jumping or flying.
Yeah, jumping is so much about emotion, and I think that's why it's so powerful. I'm sure a lot of people sitting here have done a tandem skydive.
Really? Wait, could I?
I bet you. If
claps?
We had some hands. Yeah, clap if you've done a tandem skydive.
We're definitely not in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but and I'm sure all those people could tell you that it's something they'll never forget, and this really, really powerful emotion.
What have you learned about fear from all of that? Because you're constantly pushing yourself into scarier and scarier things and confronting fear and working with it, I guess, building a relationship with your own fear, getting to know it. So what have you learned?
So for probably the first decade or so I was climbing, I was always thinking, how can I, you know, get over this fear? How can I not have fear? But now, you know, all these years later, and I've done pretty dangerous things, like really high commitment things regularly.
I like that phrase, high commitment.
I've kind of developed a different attitude toward fear, because it's not something I want to kind of stuff down and ignore. I'm at the point where I understand it a lot more, and so I try more to actually listen to it.
Do you try to transform it? Because fear, sometimes I think we feel an emotion and we think it's fear.
Exactly.
But maybe sometimes it's actually excitement, mm-hmm. or it's adrenaline, or it's, you know, something
yeah.
else.
I think fear is very complex, and I think that if we spend a lot of time trying to get away from it, we don't understand those nuances. And so we can feel intensity, and because that's not normal and it's not comfortable, we might think, oh, that's fear and I don't like it. But there's a difference between intensity and fear. At least that's what I think right now. That's what I feel right now.
And the intensity is what you crave?
I think intensity is something that everybody wants in life. I think we like intensity and we need it.
So we haven't talked about the price of risk-taking. You've experienced some of the things that we fear most. You fell in love with and married the base jumper and wingsuit pilot, Mario, Richard, and you two started a business together, and he died in 2013 on a wingsuit jump in the Dolomites. You were there jumping with him on that day. What happened?
We were there that summer to base jump together, to fly, and on that jump, I often jumped before Mario, and he would follow me in the flight. And so that's what we did on that jump. I jumped in front, and he followed. So I will never know exactly what happened because I was in front and I didn't see. But when I landed, I looked for his parachute right behind me, and I didn't see it. And so he impacted in the rock during his flight. And it's really impossible for me to understand how that could have happened. It's not like any other accident I've ever heard of, and that anyone's ever heard of in jumping. He did have problems with his eyes that were kind of seemed like they were intensifying. Mm-hmm. And I think it's possible that he was having trouble with his contacts that day and wasn't seeing the depth perception like he was used to seeing.
So to say this was devastating is an understatement. And I know for a while you thought about jumping off a cliff for real with no parachute and no wingsuit, and you didn't, you know? And how did you get through the grief?
It's an experience I don't think I was ready for. And it feels very hopeless, you know, because you don't just lose the person you love the most in the world. You lose your whole life. You lose everything that you were doing together. You lose everything you thought you would do together. It's just suddenly gone. And it's really hard to deal with that. And at first, I just didn't even know what to do, like literally, you know, on a daily basis. And so, yeah, of course I thought about, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. Why would I want to be here without Mario? Like, that just seems like completely pointless to me. And so just kind of in the beginning, I thought, okay, well, you know, what do I know how to do? I'm an alpinist. I know how to suffer. That's what you do in the mountains. Literally. You know, you get stormed on, you carry heavy things uphill, you're hungry, you're exhausted. I was like, okay, I can suffer. So I just went into like head down alpinism mode, just I'm gonna endure this and see what happens.
What happened?
You know, after a while I realized that you know, you're not gonna do that forever. It's different to do that for a couple days on a mountain than to do that for your whole life. And I also realized that, you know, Mario was such a special person. He was so about joy. He was about joy, about sharing joy with people, about making other people happy. That's what he wanted in life, to make people happy. And I realized, well, you know, this isn't really that right now. This is sort of the opposite of that. And after a while, I thought, well, I don't just want to endure through life forever. That's not, what's the point of that? I want to be happy like I was happy with Mario and like Mario was happy. And so I said, okay, well, that's my goal now. My goal is to be happy. And I set that as my goal. And after a while, I realized, you know, yet again, that's another that's another lesson that I got from being a base jumper instead of being an alpinist. An alpinist is like, I will put my head down, I will get to the top of this mountain, and I will get back down, and later it will have been fun. You know? And as a, you know, as a wingsuit base jumper, it's like, I am here at the edge of a cliff, and I am going to leave this edge, and I'm going to fly. And I wanted to fly.
Sounds like letting go is part of the key to joy.
Yeah, I think so.
How often do you jump now?
Either every day or every other day.
Actually, I knew the answer to that because you have to tell them how you walk your dog.
Well, I live in Moab, and you know, one reason is it's just a lifetime of amazing rock climbing. You know, everywhere, a couple miles from my house, there's just cliffs everywhere. So usually in the morning, I'll take my dog and hike to the top of a nearby cliff and then jump, and then she'll run back down.
So it's, does everybody hear that? I walk my dog to the top, and then I jump off.
Yeah, yeah. So it is, it's a nice way to walk the dog because because she goes, you know, she gets twice the run.
Yeah, it's not one I'll be trying for a while. Steph, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Steph Davis.